The first reading for today is from Ezekiel 18, 1 through 4, and 25 through 32. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every living soul belongs to me, the father as well as the son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unjust. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Yet the house of Israel says, "The way of the Lord is not just." Are my ways unjust, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. When someone expresses negativity about a situation after the fact, after they've already been disappointed about the outcome, that's where we have that term that comes in, sour grapes. A candidate loses an election and afterwards she says some nasty stuff about those dumb voters. Sour grapes. Man loses a job opportunity, he loses out and somebody else gets promoted with the company, and all of a sudden he starts saying all these negative things about what a lousy boss he has, when just before that he was saying what a great boss he had. That's because of sour grapes. It's not a very becoming or noble characteristic to have sour grapes in our attitude, in our disappointments. But it is very common as a reaction among us as self-centered sinners. Say that five times fast. You can do it. We struggle with this. We are self-centered in so many ways. Gossip travels fastest over sour grapevines. It's a fact. When we're sour and we get others to be sour around us and we start spreading the negativity and it goes like crazy. We blame somebody else, we tell others about it. Family feuds get eruptions in them because of sour grapes and people taking sides and issues. I was in a congregation many, many years ago where I felt like I was in a church full of the Hatfields and the McCoys. Wow, it was something to behold. Only they had German names. No Hatfields and McCoys, they were more like the Strobels and the Riches, and but they were at odds with each other all the time. They were at odds with each other, and we know that they were sour grapes, honestly, because why they were upset with each other was things that started back with their grandparents. And some 50 or 60 years before, their grandparents had gotten into it when they were kids. And now the families dislike each other, and they don't even really know why they dislike each other. But they're always looking for that reason to point fingers at each other, because that's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to not like them. That's the way our families are, sour grapes. The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, it says in our passage today. It's kind of like sucking on a lemon. There's a point where it's okay to start, but then it does damage after a certain point. Our teeth get set on edge. It becomes sensitive. and it can become a problem after a certain point. That's the way the Israelites were back in Ezekiel's time when our text is from. The people of God were blaming God for the things that they had brought on themselves. And in some cases wanting to say, well, you're blaming us, now you're punishing us for what our ancestors had done. Not recognizing that they were sinful themselves, but trying to lay the punishment that they were receiving or felt they were receiving on a generation before. When God, what he's doing is trying to help shape the next generation and help them to come along and be what they can be. God says to their questions, and they say, we didn't do anything wrong, it was our parents who did it, but we're getting the punishment. And the Lord is saying, no, that's not the way it is. He's not blaming us for the mess of those that are before us. He's not looking upon us and looking to punish us for what our parents were. We like to blame others for the messes in our lives, though. And whether it's blaming God or blaming a spouse or blaming a boss, saying a boss is a turkey or my spouse won't listen to me or my kids are driving me crazy, we when I have somebody say that, I say, well, it's kind of a short trip for you, isn't it? No, I don't say that. Well, I might in some circumstances, but only in humor. God is with us to recognize that we are the way we are, and he's there to forgive us and keep us from continuing to point the blame at others by helping us to see it's our sin. Yes, God is a God of law and gospel. He wants us to come to him, but he also wants us to recognize, stop pointing fingers at others, accept the fact that you're a sinner, and change your ways. We need to be better. We need to do better. We need to take responsibility. We can't blame the church, the pastor, the Sunday school teacher for not being good enough because our faith is not where it should be, when the Bible is there for us all the time. You can open it, you can read it, you can learn from it. You don't have to wait to just get a dose of it on Sunday morning and then go out through the rest of your week. God says, take responsibility for your faith. Take responsibility for who you are. And in doing that, you're going to have to also take responsibility for your sin. Quit blaming others. Don't blame the pastor, the mom, or the dad, or anyone else if you feel you haven't been taught correctly. And you don't know the things that you should know. Instead, God says, and we have to be careful with this verse, but God says to work out your salvation with the Lord. Well, we're not working out our salvation in the sense of earning it. We're not earning our salvation. We're not doing something to bring about that salvation. We're working out that salvation, recognizing that as we have been forgiven, as God has already sent his Son, our Savior Christ, to die and rise again for us, now we are to live in that, to do the things that God calls us to do as a family of believers. We work out that faith. We do the things that children of God should be doing. Life isn't going our way. We don't point the fingers at somebody else and blame them for things. Can you imagine if God treated us like we look at others? I mean, think of it. It wouldn't have happened for us at all, anything from this point out, because we wouldn't be here. God would have looked at Adam and Eve and said, yep, you sinned. All right, so much for them. They're gone. But God gives us the opportunity to change who we are, to turn around, to become something else, to become something better. And to do that, we have to take responsibility for who we are and what we have done. We are sinful, and we can't blame anyone else for our current situation, where we are, and how it affects us. Because even in the midst of the struggles we face in this life, we're still called to give glory to God, to rejoice in the Lord always, as the passage says. And again, I say, rejoice. No sour grapes for us. Take responsibility for your sin, but also give God responsibility for your salvation. Understand that you don't blame another person. You don't look to another place. You don't accept anything else in your life other than the salvation of God as being the way that we are saved. We know that God is on our side. We know that He wants to give us good things. But if we don't take responsibility for who we are, we're never going to understand or recognize what those good things are in this life. God is working through us for others. God's working through others for us. God is accomplishing all that needs to be. And He's calling us, though, as we've received this good gift, to live up to our salvation. To be the best that you can be as you were created to be in this life. It isn't God who is unjust in dealing with us. It's our being unjust with God in not recognizing that we are to blame. And we're the only ones that can change that attitude and perspective about that in our lives. To turn it around and to say, yes, I'm a sinner, and to praise God for it. And we're called to live for the Lord, not for ourselves. But Jesus still comes out, and Jesus is amazing because as we sin, Jesus takes on the role of being the fall guy. He takes all of our sin upon Himself and then takes it to the cross. He takes all the blame away from us, all the guilt away from us, and says that He is there for us, and what He has done is going to take care of all of your sin for all time. We sang the song, "How Great is Our God," and right there is the recognition of how great our God is, because we don't get what we deserve. God is God, and God is watching over us and caring for us. God is active in our life. There's no room for sour grapes, for a sour puss, for a sour stomach, for a sour life, because God is making all things good. He's given us this life to live to the fullest. And then at the end of this life, He's got an even better life ahead for us. All the more reason not to live with the idea of being sour about others or sour about the way things are that God has done to us. Don't grumble about life's circumstances that you can change. And don't grumble about the things you can't change either. But leave those in the hands of God. And know that God will see you through them and be with you through whatever it is that you're dealing with and going through in life. Confession and forgiveness is how it all starts. And then we get swept away by God's love and what is the sweet word of God. We taste God's love, and He gives us comfort, and He gives us salvation. There's not room for sour grapes in our faith. There's not room for sour grapes in our life. But may there always be room for that love of God, not only in us, but through us, that sweet love of God for the sake of others. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.